Welcome to Choose Life, the radio teaching ministry of author, speaker, and Bible teacher, Deborah Ross. How do we ask for help? In our society, seeking help is often viewed as a weakness by some people. But in reality, seeking help from God through prayer is the most powerful expression of faith. Today, Deborah talks with Cynthia Simmons, whose extraordinary story of strength through prayer has touched the lives of many people.
Hello and welcome to Choose Life. I'm Deborah Ross, and today I have with me Cynthia Simmons. Cynthia and her husband Ray have 5 children, and they reside in Atlanta, Georgia. Cynthia has taught for over 25 years as a homeschool mother and a Bible teacher. Her writing has appeared in publications such as Christian Authors Guild, Nathan News, Chattanooga Regional Historical Magazine, Georgia Right to Life Newsletter, and so many others. Cynthia has a heart for encouraging women in today's crazy upside-down world. She loves history and peppers her speaking and teaching with fascinating vignettes from the past. Her first book, Struggles and Triumphs, was nominated for 2008 Georgia Author of the Year. And Cynthia currently hosts Heart of the Matter Radio for women seeking the elegance of God's wisdom. Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
I'm so glad to have you with me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have you. Now, Cynthia, I'm looking over your story, and I see that you have certainly been through some hard times. If you would just share with us how your life started, and then where your life went, and then we'll go to where your life is today.
Well, when I was younger, I went to nursing school and became a registered nurse and thought, you know, that was going to be my life. And I met this wonderful man named Ray and married him. He was absolutely incredible. Ray is a lay Bible teacher as well as a CPA. Brilliant, brilliant man. And I had 5 kids and, you know, got really busy and let nursing go because I thought, well, what am I going to do with this? But as life went on, discovered that my youngest child was severely disabled, and I have used my nursing constantly. It has become kind of part of my life as I've cared for the family and a disabled child and researched his problems and dealt with my husband's issues with his health and so on. So, yeah, it's been woven into this, into my life, as well as my husband's Bible teaching. We both have teached together now. So Bible study and Bible teaching as well as nursing has been a huge part of my life.
Wow. Now, Cynthia, I mean, would you mind sharing with us about your youngest child?
Yes, this was a situation where I was busy with my four kids and, you know, started to feel bad one day, and, you know, it just kind of went on and kept going, you know, and I finally just did a pregnancy test because I thought, I don't usually stay sick this long, and I was expecting my 5th child. And I was saying, okay, wait, Lord, I can't do 5. I can't count that high. Let's talk about this. But the Lord just encouraged me through other people, through my parents, that I needed to just hang in there and have this child. But I started praying, okay, Lord, if I got to have 5, please help him to at least be quiet because I'm homeschooling these other kids and I'm really busy. I'm hanging on. And this kid was born with just a precious, beautiful little boy, gorgeous, and we all fell in love with him. And he never talked, but we didn't worry about that because it was the kind of situation where everybody was waiting on Caleb. You know, all he had to do was kind of grunt, and one of his siblings would bring him something. Mm-hmm. He never slept much, but nobody worried about that because if he squeaked, they picked him up. Mm-hmm. But I began to realize that even as a baby, he did not sleep at night. And by the time he was 15 months, he had 2 seizures, and we had to put him on seizure medication. And as I began to try to deal with this child, I began to realize that, oh, my goodness, we had not just disabilities, but severe disabilities, because he did not learn like the normal children. You couldn't explain something to him and have him just learn it. He couldn't hold a pencil. He couldn't do just the simple things of life. And so I began to realize that I had a problem. How was I going to handle a really disabled child when I was already so busy?
Mm-hmm. And how did you do that? I know I've homeschooled my children before as well, and it's quite a challenge. I mean, it's a wonderful challenge, but at the same time, I only had 2 and you had 4. So how did you work in, now you have a disabled child, how did this play into your everyday life?
Well, I realized at one point that I had a decision to make, whether or not I was going to farm him out or keep him home, because people were telling me, take him to this specialist, this specialist, this specialist, this specialist. And I thought, I need to have somebody put up for adoption. I can't do all of this. So I decided to make it my goal in life to figure out the child. So I began to take classes. I began to research online. My friends gave me books and so on. I actually, one summer, took some classes, master's degree level classes on special education. And I began to learn to crawl inside his brain and figure him out. So it became me learning about who he was and special education, because that was simpler for me to do than to drive everywhere and be gone all the time when I had the other kids at home. So I managed to work with therapists that would work on a part-time basis, or, you know, teach me how to teach him, and then we would stay in touch and consulting basis and so on. It was kind of like I was faced with a huge challenge, and I could go either under it, around it, over it, or through it. And I just did everything I had to do to try to figure out this child, and finally began to understand how he was strung together with my research and my therapist that worked along with me, and I homeschooled him all the way through.
Wow, that's great. Now, how old are your children now, Cynthia?
Caleb is my youngest. He's 22, and my oldest is now 32. So, you know, they're kind of spread out there. Caleb is still at home, very high functioning despite his disabilities. He's autistic spectrum and with many disabilities, but very high functioning, loves people, even though autistic, you wouldn't think he would, loves people. He was weighed on his entire life, so he's doing great.
That's fantastic. Now, through this, I know you also said that your husband became sick, and can you kind of share that part with me as well?
Yes, that was about 7 years ago, and I had just come out with my first book. It was just about to come out into print, and one morning we were sitting on the couch. I was about to go to my aerobic class, so I was dressed in real dumpy clothes, and he looked at me real funny, and I thought, did I say something wrong? And he slid into the floor having a grand mal seizure, and I was looking at him thinking, no, you don't do this. Caleb does this. You're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay. Nurse Cindy come out, and I said, he's having a grand mal seizure. He's too heavy for me. I can't help him off the couch. So I ran and got my oldest son, who was at that time in his early 20s, and he helped me to lift him into the floor and turn him on his side and so on. And I was just terrified because he'd had what looked to be the flu for several days, seen a doctor, but it had been about 6 days. And it turns out that we discovered that he had encephalitis, which is basically an infection of the brain, and that is not good.
Mm-hmm. So how is your husband doing today?
You know, it took about 5 years, 4 to 5 years for him to completely recover, although as far as most people who have this, it was incredible because people either die with this or they're severely disabled the rest of their life. My husband struggles with words. He has higher emotional liability because of the brain damage, but he's incredible. But that walk through that, while he was extremely sick, having partial seizures constantly, and in the first few days, of course, we didn't know if he was even going to live because they put in a PICC line, it got infected, he got pneumonia. It was a very scary time because I didn't know. One doctor said, oh, he won't go home for 6 months because he's got to learn to walk and talk and tie shoes. And it was a very scary time.
Now, Cynthia, I'm just thinking as a wife and a mother, you know, panic mode is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, God, why me? I mean, did you have these thoughts go through your mind? What were you thinking at this time? Here you have, you know, four children. You have one who's you have five children. One's disabled. Then you have your husband all of a sudden. What's going through your mind? How did you deal with this?
I couldn't get Job off my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, because that story in Job where Satan goes to God and says, can I do this to Job? And, you know, my husband is a brilliant, brilliant man. And if there's anything that characterizes him, it is his brilliance. And where did he get an infection? His brain.
Mm.
And I just thought, this is not a coincidence because he is one incredible Bible teacher. He's also the breadwinner for the family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Satan knew that I was out there starting to teach women and publish a book, and I thought, this isn't a coincidence. But I really felt like as I walked through this, even though we were struggling to keep everything together, and sometimes it was, you know, all my prayers were simply help as I, you know, would go do something else and, you know, manage some other problem. But I realized that God had drawn a line in the sand, and he had said, you may go this far, but you may not go any further, because people wondered if my husband was going to be able to teach again. He does. He's back teaching again. Incredible teacher. Even though there is a slight struggle for words every now, you'll see him pause and struggle for a word, or he'll come to me and say word. You know, but Satan could not cross that line because God said, no, that's where you stop.
Mm-hmm.
It never got, it's nearly as bad as it could have been. And I was always conscious of that because, I mean, you know, nurses know everything that could ever possibly ever happen. You can write list of side effects of drugs, a list of, you know, all the way to death at the bottom. I knew all of it. I knew what could happen, and I saw how the Lord was walking us through it. I was aware of that at the same time that I was going, okay, Lord, help again, and I kept going. You know, it's like the nurse, Mrs. Nurse kicked in.
You know what I want to talk about is that word help, because I've been there before when all you can say is help, God help. So let's just hone in on that for a moment to let our listeners know just how good God is and how just that simple word help and how he does come to us. Just talk to me about that for a moment.
Well, sometimes that was all I could pray because, you know, I was juggling so much stuff. During the same time, my mother became ill as well. She did not live in the same town with me, but my dad saw me as the nurse, and he would do nothing. He had them call me long distance. And I couldn't go there and be there because my husband needed me so constantly. Plus, you know, what at times she had things that would actually bring bacteria into the house. I couldn't go, so I had to do everything long distance. And so I was constantly crying help, you know, and just saying, I can't do this. And there was one day in particular that I was sitting in my hotel room, not the hotel room, but the hospital, and you know, I just started saying, Lord, I'm just so tired. You know, I would just love to have some flowers in this hotel room, because this hospital room, because it's so dreary. And within 5 minutes, someone knocked on the door and brought me 2 dozen roses.
Praise the Lord.
And I thought, you heard me, didn't you? But you heard me before I even said it, because you had a plan in mind before I even said that, because somebody was already sending him.
Wow.
So, you know, that happened on several occasions, and I thought, you know, he's there. He's even hearing my thoughts. And, you know, I had the car break down. I had the washer die at the same time. And someone in my church came and fixed the washer. You know, it was just amazing how the Lord was just there, and I had what I needed. And so that prayer helped. He was hearing it.
Amen. He does hear the word help. He does. Now, Cynthia, we're almost out of time, but I want our listeners to know how they can get in contact with you. Do you have a website?
I do. It's clsimmons.com, and the reason for that is my father's initials. I am Cynthia L. Simmons, and I use his initials because he was C.L. Thomas. So it's clsimmons.com.
Absolutely. And you have a new book out. What is the name of your new book?
It's called Women Who Overcame, and I tell the stories of women through history that went through hard times, and there's a little bit of my story in there as I talk about Ray's illness.
Now, you have a favorite Bible verse, and I'm going to read it. It's 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place.
Yes.
Okay. Cynthia, it's so good talking with you today, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Choose Life has been paid for by the friends and partners of Deborah Ross Ministries. Thank you for your support. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching with author and speaker Deborah Ross. Until then, go to DeborahRossMinistries.org for more encouraging messages, plus books, CDs, articles, partnership information, and how to stay connected with Deborah. Choose Life is committed to strengthening families, encouraging faith, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Find out more at DeborahRossMinistries.org.